right now with us. Lord, I thank you for your goodness and mercy in my life. Thank you for your precious touch, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 I want to go to 2 Corinthians tonight, the 5th chapter. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20. The word of the Lord, as the writer is given forth through the unction of the Lord's Spirit. He's writing to the church saying, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." I want you to note when he said, "We are ambassadors for Christ." We are the representative for the Lord Jesus Christ. Tonight, I want to talk to us about being an ambassador. But I want to talk to you about a life without regret, representing the King. I want to give God that honor by my life. I don't want to ever fail to represent the Lord and let my personality, let myself get in its way. I want to be conscious of my calling. I want to be conscious of the opportunity and my life in regards to the duty and call that God has put upon my soul. And you as a congregation, every soul that is in this place, amen, we have more than an obligation. It's a great privilege to live for God. It's a great joy to know the risen Savior, the power of His Spirit. What a privilege to have a heritage and a legacy that God has reached down to your life and given you such an opportunity to know His Spirit. I want you to pray with me right now. Lord Jesus, let your power and your flow tonight challenge me. God, let your glory tonight, Lord, minister, revive, and help me, Lord Jesus, to recognize, God, the calling and the calls today of the hour that I'm in. Help me, God, to well represent you. God, to well give you praise. And Lord Jesus, help me to know your great voice in my hour. I give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Growing up in a very talented church, large church, where every service was high. I mean, every service. I hardly ever remember. Brian is here. Mother is here. I hardly ever remember a service where it was, I mean, there was just something about it. The top of the hour of singing and talents and abilities. But the greatest services, amen, after traveling and being part of different services. I've been on the platform of General Conference, and I've been places at camp meeting on the platform of camp meetings. I preach camp meetings. I've been at conference after conference, but the greatest services that I've ever been in was not one that was preference with all the lights and the lace and all the different talents and ability. It was where the heart of somebody connected the congregation to the Almighty God. And where somebody that had their heart right, their mind fixed, and their whole life was centered around doing the will of God. I've been in places where they did not have a large congregation, but they had a burning desire to reach people. And it impresses me, Sister Benton, there are people that would go out of their comfort zone to represent the Lord God Almighty, to give the Lord, amen, through their life, amen, the recognition by going and taking this precious gospel to somebody else of a different culture and a different place and Not everybody's called to be a foreign missionary. But how beautiful to know that there are people that would leave the culture of the United States and would go to a foreign land and a foreign people and go there and bring their family just to let the light of the gospel be known to people. They're not there, and they were not there on vacation. They were not there even just to see the sights of a different country. But they were there for the purpose of being an ambassador for the Lord's sake. This week, my brother, he lives and he travels across the globe. And he lives in the country of Spain presently. He has a place in Croatia and different places that he tells me about. But he's also lived and he is known in the country of Jordan. Brother and Sister Reeves that were there for many years. Brother Reeves was one that represented very well the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Even Saddam Hussein, who was King Hussein or whatever, I may have it all wrong, but even the king, amen, he had known and different things there, standing for the truth and being a well representative. Another man that he mentioned there in the country of Jordan, Brother Chip Shepherd, how these people, they gave their life, so to speak, for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. People that said, it's well worth it, amen, to give my life and to separate myself from all the comforts of what we call home and make it your ambition and your mission to let the light of the gospel shine. Not everybody is called to be a missionary, but everybody, or foreign missionary, everybody is called to be a missionary to where you live. Amen. We go to the jail. Sister Benton talked about it. We're very busy people. We go to that stinking jail. I'm telling you, it stinks. It's nasty. And we go there and we're looking to the faces and the eyes of people that they have no hope. In 29 years of walking in that jail, even today I got a call from one that was there 29 years ago. And she tried to call the church phone today to get me to answer the phone and pay that little bill so she could tell me something. Hey, friend, I'm telling you, our world is a world that needs Jesus Christ. And here we sit in the comfort of an air-conditioned building and a place where we've learned to have church. We've learned just to go through the protocols of what we call Pentecost. But, friend, don't ever lose conscience of your purpose as God's people. We're called to be ambassadors. We're called to be representatives of Jesus. Whether you're in Walmart, whether you are at the restaurant, you still got an obligation to represent Jesus Christe. One of the horriblest things that I could ever say is Pentecostals that stick their noses up and thinks they're somebody, that they really have arrived, and they feel like they're entitled, that they have a higher, you know, thing than everybody. I want to tell you, we don't deserve God one bit. We don't deserve the things of God one bit. But friend, I want to bring you back to your purpose tonight and tell you that you have a calling and you have a purpose in this hour. Amen. To let God be God in your life, to let your light shine in this hour. Don't get caught up in the protocols. Don't be one that just goes through the motion. Let this be real to you. Let it be meaningful how you live your life. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Brother Zach's going to read it for us. Amen.
But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light.
The thing today that I want to move you from as a pastor, I want to move you from that place where so many have got comfortable that said, I have received the Holy Ghost and I have been saved, to the place that now I have been sent and with a commission to reach souls. God is looking for us to do more than just promote this church, promote just the attendance of this church. Because you could come to this church, you know as well as myself, and you could come and you could wear the uniform of a Pentecostal. You could have the looks of a Pentecostal and be plenty lost. Amen. You can learn all the antics and all the words of being a Pentecostal and still not let your light shine. The worst thing ever is when somebody should and they don't. When somebody has the ability, when they could, but they just refuse to let God. In the word of the Lord in the book of Revelation, the 3rd chapter, the man of God said, as he saw a peculiar church, he said, You got it all together. You're rich. You increase with goods, and you had need of nothing. You think you're somebody, but oh, in the eyes of God, you're wretched. You're miserable. You're naked, and you're blind because you forgot the God of heaven. Don't ever forget where God has brought you from. In fact, I want you to remember this. God don't have to have you. You have to have God. Don't ever get to that place that you think, oh, you know, I'm entitled. I got it all together. Hey, it's a privilege to live for God. But never forget it is a privilege. Never forget that it is a calling and a cause that God has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Amen. He didn't merely save you from something. Amen. He has called you for something. And God has chosen you that you should show forth his light. Amen. Oh, God is looking for somebody in this hour to get out of your box, to get out of your comfort zone and be that witness in this hour of his grace and mercy. If you really have the treasure, you're going to live with a mind that constantly reflects that treasure. You're going to have an identity. You are an ambassador in this generation. An ambassador is an accredited representative. He is an official that begins to represent something more than himself. He's authorized to speak on behalf of another. And is somebody living in a place but representing another? I want to tell you, we're in the world, but we should not be of the world. We're in the world. And before I represent my occupation, before I represent my family name, before I represent my culture, before I represent myself, I represent him. Amen. What a royal pleasure it is, amen, to be the representative of the King of Kings and the Lord of Hosts. Aren't you thankful tonight that the Lord chose you, that the Lord put you where you're at tonight? You're a chosen generation. You're graced. You're forgiven. You're chosen and called. But you're also sent as a light to a darkened world. I am first a citizen of his kingdom, but even greater, I am a called child of God, a child of the King. There's a sense that a power of belonging. Whenever you belong to something, for example, when somebody belongs to a certain health system or let's just say a gym, you belong to Planet Fitness. Wherever you go to Planet Fitness, generally you can walk in because you are an official member. And whether you're in Nacogdoches or whether you're up in St. Louis, you could go there and you could participate because you belong to their club. I want to say this today. Amen. I am glad that I belong to him. But don't ever get to the place that you realize, man, I belong to God, and look how great. I want to tell you, don't ever get to that place that you think that you're somebody all wrapped up in yourself. Get to that place to realize I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about a somebody who can save anybody. You don't deserve 1 ounce of God. That's the reason I must reach and touch people's life, because I know who I am, but I know where I came from. You ever seen somebody that forgot where they came from? Yeah. They forgot where they came from. They forgot who they were. They forgot. You know, I watch people that were as poor as Job's turkey get a little something. They think they're somebody. I don't want you to ever forget where the Lord's brought you from. Don't ever get to the place that you think you're entitled. Don't you ever think that church sign is going to put you on the other side. Don't you ever believe that just going to church is going to cause you to get to heaven. You could go to church, but going to church don't make you anything, friend, until you let God make you and mold you. That church sign and going to church don't make you a Christian, like going to McDonald's don't make you a Happy Meal. God is looking for somebody to recognize what he's done in their life. And when God has brought you out of darkness, you're going to have a sense of, you're not going to let somebody that you love stay in darkness. You're going to look and say, if there was hope for me, there's hope for them. And a missionary goes there carrying a treasure. The treasure is something that they hold on to, something they guard, and something they appreciate. I'm thankful that we had this treasure, the scripture says, in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We're earthen vessels, ordinary people, common backgrounds, full of human weaknesses, imperfect abilities. We've had attitudes we have to iron out and iron out. How many has to iron your attitude out? How many has to air it out? Look at what God does with our life. Look at what we're carrying. There's a treasure in this old earthen vessel. There's something inside of us that our generation desperately needs. It's more than religion. I'm not merely representing a church I attend, a doctrine that I've learned, a religious tradition that I follow, a set of rules that I live by. I'm representing the one that I know that still is alive and well. One that cares for the soul. One that reaches out and touches us. Amen. Somebody said, I'm not going to do that. And I've had people, even preachers, tell me, I wouldn't dare go to the jail. I wouldn't dare run my bus into that neighborhood. You're wasting your time and wasting your effort. And there's some that's even thought that. But friend, I want to tell you, every soul that you reach is another soul hell cannot have. Come on, remember where God brought you from. You don't deserve the house of God. I don't want to ever regret giving my life, spending my life for God. I don't want to ever regret the sacrifices that I've made for him. Times where we didn't have. Who in the right mind would make such great sacrifices to go to a place, stay in a place, and put up with what you put up and say, I'm doing it for God. And put your roots down. Take your family and put your family through it. I want to tell you, when you do it for Jesus Christ, how beautiful it is. My dad went to Brady, Texas. And my mom's here. And I'm just going to reflect just a little bit. When dad went to Brady, little home mission church, nothing fancy. And the first keyboard that Brian had and he started playing in church was probably, I want to say in all terms, Brian, it wasn't nothing but a little bitty keyboard. It wasn't fancy. He learned how to play, and he was the music. We get there, and the only thing we knew was to have church. The only thing my mom and daddy knew was just to pray and do what we have always been trained to do, and to bring the gospel. Somehow or another, my brother got connected with a young man and a young girl, and they started coming to our church. Michael and Mary, they started coming. And what a joy today to look and to see Michael Suarez's life, to see Mary's life. Michael Suarez attends church in Colorado Springs, Brother Johnny Burgess's. His daughter now, her husband is a pastor in Olathe, Kansas. How wonderful to know and to watch through the years that little girl grow up and to know that Brian, Mom, I mean, we had just a little bit apart in their life. How wonderful it is to get a call every now and then from Brother Mark Cowan. Brother Mark Cowan pastors in Augusta, Kansas. And Brother Cowan would call me and he said, I remember when you were my Sunday school teacher. I remember going there, Brother Crosswhite, in that Sunday school class, and I watched you teach as a young man this class, and see, we were rowdy. We were hopeless, but I'm thankful for the grace of God today to watch what God has done through the lives. And through the years, I've watched what God has pulled and God has touched many people. I've watched God touch you and different ones in this building. Even whenever you felt that there was nowhere else to go, you felt that you had reached your end and you have come against the wall, so to speak, the grace and the goodness of God has reached to you and blessed you. Amen. I'm thankful for the goodness and the grace of our great Savior. I look back in my rearview mirror in Central Heights, Sister Benton, when you got up to talk, and Sister Charlotte, you're here, but I recall many times Sister Benton would say, pray for Eldon. Pray for Eldon, Brother Crosswhite. Please pray for him. But I could remember that day that y'all all came to church. And the daughter, the girls were there, the Benton girls. And I can remember Brother Eldon coming to that altar that morning and God revisiting that man's soul. I watched tears roll down his face and the power of the Holy Ghost fall again on him and God revive him. You can't beat those kind of things. Are you thankful for the royal heritage that God has given every one of us? This week I preached an anniversary service, 39 years for a pastor in Macomb, Mississippi, Summit, Mississippi. And my mother got a text or something from somebody that's kin to us, needing my number, and she shared, and it was a cousin of mine said, there was a young boy and a young girl that we grew up with. The young boy's name is VJ. He and Phaedra heard that you're coming to Summit and want to go. And it was this. VJ hadn't been to church in years. But Friday night, I looked out, and there was VJ, Phaedra. There was Justin Moak. There was Sister Moak. There was different ones that were there. There was Brad and Tracy. There was Brandon. Different ones there that even that I grew up with that has the same heritage and background of our lives. Amen. What a joy to see that. But what a joy to see. To find that there are people that are still holding the torch, that are still walking with God and living for God. Amen. Even in that service that night, after that service, they had a gentleman, he began to walk up to me and he said, Brother Crosswhite, he said, I just want to just talk to you. He said, you know some people that I know. He said, there's a young man in your church. He said, I've known. And he said, his name is Joe Atkins. And he said, I know another man, Josh, in your church. What a joy that Brother Shortridge could look at me in the eye and said, oh, I'm so thankful that they're there. Amen. Oh, God, I'm thankful tonight that there are people that are still living and people that have a heritage and that are guarding that opportunity to live for God. What a heritage you have. But, friend, don't let the light go out in your life. Remember your calling. Remember that God has a purpose for you. Amen. You're not there just when God fills you with the Holy Ghost, just with power to shout. You just don't have power to worship. Not merely power to rejoice, but it's a power to represent Jesus Christ. To realize that you do have power to live differently, to love differently, to respond differently. You have power to overcome. You have power to testify, to reach, and power to say, I know what Jesus can do for you. How many come out of impossible situations before you came to God when God brought you out of a certain circumstance? I look at Brother Zach. I want to tell you, Brother Zach grew up at home. He knows what drugs, when drugs go, he came out of an impossible situation. How many were in your two-bedroom house? 16 people in a two-bedroom, two-bath or one bath? One bath, 16 people. But because of a pastor there, Brother J.T. Wheat, Brother Wheat, not J.T. Wheat.
Yeah, Brother Wheat.
Brother Wheat. Brother Wheat came by. Sister Wheat would pick him up and bring him to church. Just drive out of her way. And their church ran a good bit. But because of a love or a young man, they offered him a hope in his life. He did not receive the Holy Ghost till he was 17 years old. At a Bible college thing, that he came to Lufkin. And Brother Steve Zort was a preacher. God filled Zach with the gift of the Holy Ghost. But it all relates because somebody had a mission. Somebody said, I'm going to reach to that young man. I'm going to do my best to pick him up. You just never know what's going to happen when you let God use your life. Don't write somebody off. Don't begin to put them off. Realize you have a calling. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians, we're living epistles read of all men. You may be the only Bible somebody reads. You're a living letter. You are a billboard that is alive. And a billboard doesn't exist just to advertise itself, but to represent and to show forth the glory of a God. We ought to advertise the goodness of God by our life. We should show forth the praises of Him who has called us out of darkness. Come on, friend. I want them to see the change. I want them to see the worth. I want them to see meaning. I want them to see dedication. I want them to see hope in my life. I don't want to stick my nose in the air and think, well, you know, these miserable people around me, they're nobodies, they're worth nothing. Hey, friend, God is still God. God is able to touch the nobody. God is able to take the worthless and put His glory in them. Amen. Either we believe God or we don't.
Come on.
Thankful for the glory of God that still works in this hour. It's not showing people how great we are, but how great He is and how wonderful His mercy is in our lives. I don't want to have any regrets. The Bible says, buy the truth,
sell it not.
Sell it not. The bought out can't be sold out. I want to be sold out to God. Or the sold out cannot be bought out. I got it backwards. The sold out can't be bought out. I want to be sold out. Let me ask you, are you sold out? Are you sold out? I've been in little bitty places where you wonder why in the world would a man bring his family here? Why in the world would they go to that little place and start at work? I remember when Brother Rod Foster went to Roswell. He left the church that he was pastoring, went to Roswell, New Mexico. He was a math teacher, and he started teaching school in Roswell. And they started having church in their house. This man had a nice building where he was pastored at in Andrews. This man's very educated, very dedicated. But he brought his little kids to Roswell, I thought. But today when you pull up in Roswell, downtown Roswell, one square block, you'll find the church there. Amen. Brother Pearl's been there. I'm telling you. What a beautiful representation of what God could do in a short time. Amen. God started filling students with the gift of the Holy Ghost. God started touching lives. God started bringing people in. And today when I go to Roswell, I find a people that is strong, that are living for God. I want to tell you today, amen, thank you for your faithfulness to the house of God. But can I get you to make a further step and get to that place that you step up your life with meaning? When you come to the house of God, let this be a place when people walk in, they don't find a people that's just there and that's just tagged in, that just stepped in, amen, that just coming to give another Pentecostal calisthenics. No, but let them find when you lift your hands, there's a real, there's a genuineness. When they come, they're not just here to be entertained by a choir of people singing their guts out, but somebody that says, God, this is for you tonight. God, this is going to be your night. This is going to be your time. I'm going to give you my best. How would you like to go to the ER? And you were desperate, or your child was desperate. You walk into the emergency room of that hospital, and you see that, man, this place is filthy, hadn't been cleaned. The people there, they don't care. But you got an emergency. How would you like to go to the intensive care unit, walk in, and it's all nasty, out of order? People don't care. Don't you want to go to a place that everybody's attentive? Everybody is serious? I don't want to go to a place where the doctor's just chewing bubble gum, blowing bubbles, and he's not even listening. Neither do I want to go to a church that has that kind of mentality. We had Brother several years ago come from Longview, and talked to this congregation, talked to our young people. Brother Moore from Longview, he came and talked to us and challenged. He said, I love Popeyes. He said, I love Popeyes so much. He said, but I don't go to Popeyes. He said, I go to Chick-fil-A. He said, the reason why I don't go to Popeyes, he said, because when I go to Popeyes, he said, it's filthy. And the people there, they look like they just crawled out of bed and they could care less that you're there. They don't even take care of the customers. They're dirty. Their uniforms are not right. Some of them don't even have a uniform. They come and they're sloppy. Their shoes are not tied. They're not even ready. And he said, when you order, they look at you, what do you want? And whenever you go there, you think, man, I want this shrimp. I want these fried crawfish. And they go, we don't have any. We're out of them. He said, they're always out of something. They're not prepared. He said, the restroom is filthy. And he said, when you go through the drive-thru, just about every time I go through the drive-thru, they get my order wrong. And they act like it's your fault. They don't know how to count the change back. They could care less about the customer. He said, that's the reason why I go to Chick-fil-A. He said, when I go to Chick-fil-A, they got it together. I'm not waiting in line for, you know, have a birthday just waiting in line. He said, they moved me through the line. And when I say thank you, they say, my pleasure. Everybody's sharp. Everybody's on their toes. The restaurant, there's somebody cleaning all the time. They're conscious of the customer. They're conscious of their service. They're conscious of the things of God. I do not want this church to become like a Popeyes that has the recipe. Popeyes has the product, don't they? But you know what? They don't have the service. We can have the product, but if we don't have the hospitality and the service and we're not on our toes with meaning, what good is it? God wants a church that is mindful of how we worship, mindful of how we participate. You can have the best singers. You can have the best music. But if we don't mean it, we are a laughing stock because somebody's going to come here and they'll see through your phoniness. They'll see through your filthiness. They see through your program and protocols. But you give me somebody, even that loves God with all their heart, that has dedicated their soul to the mission of God. They recognize, I don't belong here, but God has chosen me. He pulled me out of a horrible situation and set me on a rock. He who has been forgiven of much will love much. You appreciate the things of God. You're thankful to wear the uniform for God. You represent the brand. You represent the King of Kings. You come from afar and you say, hey, he brought me a long ways, and if he can do it for me, he can do it for you. What kind of church does God want? What kind of person does God want you to be? Let Brother Zach do it. Let him teach the Bibles. There's some of you that know the truth and can do the truth, but you'll sit back and let somebody else do it. God is looking for a church that realizes it's my job to welcome that person when they come in. It's my job to reach out. Even when somebody's praying in the altar, to come and help us pray. Even it's almost like pulling teeth up here sometimes to get somebody to get out of their pew. Even you're quick to, when we got to get something to eat, to go get in line. But oh, friend, God is looking for somebody to step up and say, what a privilege. I'm going to help somebody else pray through. I'm going to help somebody else that needs something from God. It may be a brother. It may be a sister. It may be a stranger that walks in your church. But remember, you are an ambassador. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. Is he? The best place to backslide is at TBC. Carson, the best place to backslide, amen, is get to the place where it don't mean anything. You don't want to go to a place that they have no meaning, no purpose. You've been around some soldiers now that they're just in it. But you've been around a few that love their country. You found some men that are in there that says, I'm going to stick with this. I'm going to be a good soldier. And the Bible tells us to be a good soldier of God. Even if you're going to be something, why not be the very best you can? You can't be You may not have all the talent, all the different things, but you could be a good soldier for Jesus Christ. You could be a good representative. You could be an ambassador of God. 83 or 4, Sister Benton. How old are you? 84. I was taught never to ask a lady her age, but she tells everybody anyway. She don't care. She's blessed. 84 years blessed. When she walks in that jail on Thursday, those inmates look forward to this great, great grandmother. She is a great grandmother, great, great grandmother. And they love because they see a genuineness in your heart. They know that she don't have to be there, but she thinks, I get to be here. And they feel that, Mammy. They feel that sense that you have that burden. Tonight, I'm so thankful I get to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. I get to come to worship God. I want you to stand with me. God is calling us to step it up. To step up our approach, to step up our meaning, to step up our worship, to step up our lifestyle. God is looking for somebody to walk the walk and not just talk the talk. Hear me. Your walk talks more than your talk talks. You can say it with your mouth, but if you don't live it, what good is it? It's kind of like years ago, the Rolexes, Rolex watches. It was a sign of, man, you were somebody. But you can find a Rolex watch anywhere. There's imitations. I don't want to be an imitator. I don't want to be an imitation. I don't want to be a cheap lookalike. I want to be the real deal. Amen. I want to show forth the praises of him that's brought me out of darkness into his marvelous light. I want that hunger, that meaning to be in my soul. That I love the Lord with all my heart, all my strength, all my being. Hallelujah. Come on, lift your hands with me right now. Lord, I love you. Lift your hands with me right now. Lord, let me, God, revisit my calling. Help me, God, to reestablish my purpose. Help me, God, to get in gear my soul. That, Lord, I live not for me, but for your calling, your purpose. Hallelujah. Would you rededicate your life tonight? I need somebody to rededicate their commitment to God. Would you come to the front tonight and say, God, here am I. God, renew me. Renew my purpose. Renew that fire. Renew that desire in my soul, in my spirit. Jesus, do your work again in me. Hallelujah. Are you willing? Are you willing tonight? Are you willing to let God renew you, your purpose? In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
If you can see Jesus brought me from to where I am today, then you would know the reason why I love him so. You can tell.
Talk to the Lord tonight.
To live.
Come on, would you talk to the Lord about your life? Lord, help me.
If you could see.
Renew me, Jesus.
Where Jesus brought me from.
Come on, renew that tonight. Renew that dedication.
I am today.
Come on, make a rededication tonight.
You would know the reason why. Take this world, its wealth and
young man at Annapolis. They're from Kosovo. He scooted in a booth across White and I, maybe 2 months ago, and with fervency and almost tears in his eyes, this is what T told us. He said, these people in America need to kiss the ground. They don't know what they have here. There's something about the freedom, the liberty, and the grace that God has had over America. It's kind of like this. When I see that American flag go up, it still moves me because it represents something. Carson, they drilled you and they drilled you and drilled you. That way you could salute just right. Man, come show me. Get right over here. Come on, Carson. Get right there. Show us what they taught you when they holler attention and when that flag's blowing up. Show me. What are you drilled to do? Brother Riley, where you at? Brother Riley, what did they teach you to do when you was... Show me. You know what's beautiful, Carson? When I go to these veterans deal and when I go to places where they say the Pledge of Allegiance, you know who pulls them hats off now? The people that's been in the military. But I see those old dudes with cowboy hats, even at a funeral. And it's prayer time. They don't take the cowboy hat off, a baseball hat. And one day I seen a veteran walk up to this young man, tapped him on the shoulder. He said, take your hat off. You're disrespecting. And that kid looked at him like, what, me? There's something that was ingrained in you now, Brother Riley, that you take your hat off and you stand with allegiance because you know that there was blood shed for your freedom and liberty. And when I come to the house of God, I want to maintain that allegiance because he shed forth his blood and had grace on my life that I could be his. I don't deserve Jesus. Amen. I'm thankful for the grace of God.